Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, and this episode is Cues of the Force. Yes, quagmires of the Force. We're just going to be stuck. No, it is questions of the Force. We're very excited to get your questions and hopefully have some A's. I'm Joseph Grimshaw. How are you, Ken Knapsack?
I'm Ken Knapsack, and I have a plethora of A's for you today.
Excellent. That sounds like a wonderful song by a band I've never heard of.
It does. Yes.
Plethora of A's, yes. As always, we want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, and any other physical object you can make sounds. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. We are continuing to recommend Padawan by Kirsten White, a young Obi-Wan adventure that we really want to read. Do you want to beat us to it? You can listen by downloading your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for a free audiobook. It helps us, and you get a free audiobook. All right, Ken, is your plethora of A's out and ready?
They're very much out, very much ready.
Excellent. As always, we take two questions from Twitter and two from our patrons on Patreon. Go first to Twitter, and we are going to Kevin Booth. Here is what Kevin has to say. Guys, exclamation point. All cinemas around the globe close indefinitely. Tomorrow, you have time only to watch one Star Wars movie on the big screen. Which is it and why? For a bonus point, which specific scene, moment are you looking forward to the most? Ken, we get a lot of difficult questions. This is borderline cruel. This is an extremely difficult and fun question from Kevin. Where do you go with this?
Well, here's where I go first. These questions, I love these kind of ones, like, hey, this crazy scenario about what could happen. And then Kevin's asking something that we kind of all experienced over the last 2-3 years. So.
This is very true. I'm going to treasure forever the ticket I picked out, printed out from Arclight Cinemas, which is currently closed, for the James Bond film No Time to Die, which, you know what? I didn't get to go to that showing. I had to wait a little while.
A little bit.
So, yeah, good point.
Yeah, so I'm kind of laughing at this one here in a great way, Kevin, because I will always say I consider Empire Strikes Back to be my favorite and the best of the Star Wars films. I will always have that opinion. But in this scenario, I ain't watching that one. I'm not going to that. I was trying to work through my answer. It was like, it was Return of the Jedi or, wait for it, Rise of Skywalker.
Wow.
And it's sometimes a mood, right? Depending, the answer we give often is what we're feeling that day. And I got to say, I think if it's cinema for the last time, I'd want to experience, oh God, people are going to hate. I want to experience the Rise of Skywalker again. I really do.
Yeah, is it because it is, ultimately a triumph? Obviously, you and I have talked a ton. We love that film's just very consistent message of we are stronger together, and that matters. Is it feeling those feelings again? It's not a Navy, it's just people. Do you want to pump your fist at that one more time?
Yeah. I absolutely think you're right. And I keep saying, like, right, again, this changes. Like, for a while, Solo was the film I put on if I want some Star Wars. Rise of Skywalker's that right now. And that will change. And it's always going to change. There's some days where I'm like, I just want to watch the opening of Attack of the Clones again. I think as Star Wars fans, we all have that. But there's something about Rise of Skywalker in this scenario. If theater's going to close, and what can I experience that kind of goes into all areas of Star Wars? The pulp, the action, the speed, the gothic horror, a big bad villain, a hero's journey, big fights. And I've always said, I'm very on it. The Rise of Skywalker is the movie that made me cry the most. Now, some people might say, yeah, it made me cry too, but not in a good way. This one made me cry at least 5-6 times in a very heartfelt way as a lifelong Star Wars fan. And you don't have to be a lifelong Star Wars fan to be moved by this film at all either. And it just, in this scenario, it would scratch all the itches. And it would just feel like, man, what a Star Wars journey. What an adventure. And I had so much fun seeing in theater and so much fun with the big sounds and the set design and some of the scenarios. And even some of the things, some of the beats in the film that aren't my favorite. And there's a couple moments here and there that, I don't know if that works or that, or I wish they could have done that another way. Every film has that. All those are washed away by the sheer Star Wars of it all. And that's something that I love and something I'd want to experience again.
I love your answer, and I love the way you worked through it, because I worked through it in a very similar way. Mm-hmm. And Rise of Skywalker is up there as a possibility to hear that crack of weird, unnatural Exegol lightning, one of the best sound design moments in Star Wars. But I was really thinking, because this is such a great, not just like, what's your favorite Star Wars movie? It's like, what do you want to experience on the big screen? You know, and you're never going to be able to see it, possibly. Mm-hmm. I guess they close indefinitely tomorrow, so possibly you might not see it on the big screen again. And I think Rise of Skywalker came out of contention for me because I kind of had that viewing of it. Saw it multiple times in the theater, many good experiences. But when it was clear that it was wrapping up, you know, in January, late January of 2020, I really had this kind of like, that's the last Skywalker saga film, at least for now, probably for a very long time. And I just want to see it again in the theater, knowing this is the end of that journey. And it was like, I think the day it closed, and it was me and one other dude in the theater. And I don't know what was going on in that person's life, but they kept getting up and coming back. When they first left, I was like, okay, fair enough. And they came back like 3 or 4 times. It was just me and this guy. By the time it got to, you know, Yoda telling Rey alone, never have you been, you know, Still the tear. So I had that experience that was like, there's no one in the theater too. So like I took photos of, I raised my little cocktail and, you know, took photos of my cocktail against the credits, you know, I made a whole thing of it and processed it, you know? Yeah. So I was kind of thinking about that. And I think for me, Empire Strikes Back is a big contender because it is the one that has the deepest connection to my soul, you know, from my childhood. Mm-hmm. And then as, you know, Star Wars was the thing that it existed mostly just on VHS and in conversations, it's the one that really resonated with me the most kind of emotionally. But then I've also got to see it on the big screen recently, you know. It's not as hard to see the original trilogy on screen. I'm lucky, particularly in Los Angeles, where there are a lot of movie theaters that show it, or the Hollywood Bowl do a live concert along with it. It's not as difficult to see. So I've seen it on the big screen and had that experience. You and I think are just out to perhaps shock some listeners with our choices. So I think my choice would be Attack of the Clones. And ooh. I know for some people it's the lowest moment of the Skywalker saga. I understand and appreciate all the opinions. Attack of the Clones is really close to my heart for lots of reasons that I've talked about. It has, you know, deep Star Wars lore. It is so Obi-Wan centric, his great noir journey, realizing how much Padme is the hero of that movie and everything is about her trying to do the right thing and stop an unnecessary war from happening. There's so much to love about it. But also I think I love it because it's so pure Star Wars, both, you know, the weird parts, the flaws and all of the pulpy adventure serial of it. It's just kind of, it has it all. And sometimes I'm watching it and I'm really appreciating why I love it, but like, yeah, when you take a step back and try to approach it as kind of like, this is just a normal movie. Like, I think you Attack the Clones, you got to be pretty deep into Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, by the time you're cheering for the Muppet with the lightsaber. So for a lot of reasons, I think Attack the Clones is my main choice.
Well, it seems as though, Joseph, as we are going to be upsetting a lot of people today, or actually making a lot of people happy, which is, you know, wins and losses in Star Wars, wins and losses.
Yeah, absolutely. And the great here part of Kevin's question as well is not just the film, but the moment. So I'll share some moments and you can wrap up with your Rise of Skywalker moment. If I went with Empire Strikes Back, it would be Luke entering the carbon freezing chamber, looking at the blaster, realizing this isn't going to help me out. But you are not a Jedi yet. And the whole beginning of the lightsaber fight, that would be the thing. For Attack the Clones, it isn't really one moment. There are just so many different moments that I love in that film. But this is, I think, something that you're probably going to agree with, Ken. But I think it would be the asteroid chase. Because with Kenobi and Jango, because it's got such great Kenobi moments of the this is why I hate flying, him being clever. And it's a well-done action sequence. And, of course, the seismic charges, those are something to be experienced in the cinema.
Yes. Well, that's a great point. Yeah. Oh, man. You know what? That's a great yes, long have I said that is my favorite sound effect in Star Wars. But the reason is how I experienced it the first time. It was all around me.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, in the complete sound drop-off that makes you think something's gone wrong for just a second.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Followed by boing. Yeah. So what is your moment in Rise of Skywalker that you need to see in the theater?
Yeah, you know, there might be something to the opening sequence again with Kylo and Palpatine. It's still, I don't know, there's the sound, the lightning, like you were saying there, too. And yes, the Han Solo moment is perhaps one of my favorite scenes in Star Wars, but that one I feel I can get the feel of that in the gut, in the heart, even in my living room, right? But it might end up being there's two moments and they're small. You mentioned one. I love the it's just people, sir. That is a powerful moment. And then there's more of us, Poe. There's more of us, and the music swells and it's a Star Wars theme. And you go over there. There's some cheesy moments in that Exegol battle that I know people like to poke at. I get it. I understand. It's all washed away. Those cheesy, maybe a fist pump in the cockpit or, you know, I don't know. Some people don't like Zori's showing back. Whatever. It all fades away. because of that moment. And Poe flying over and seeing the Citizens Fleet, and there's more of us, Poe. There's more of us, Poe, from Lando. God, that's just why I want to be there, to see it again and cheer and pump and love Star Wars and be moved by Star Wars and be moved by themes that connect with the action. And then on other note there, I got to tell you something. There's something I love about the crew on Passana coming up over the ridge and seeing the Aki-Aki Festival.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that I've always just loved. And yes, I can watch it on screen. I have a sizable TV, not as big as I'd want. It's the American story. But I can feel that. But there was nothing quite like that in the theater because the sound's all around you. The music's swelling. 3PO's jokes are on fire. Love that. But it's just something that's just truly Star Wars on the big screen for me there. So two moments there I'll submit.
Those are great moments, and really being able to experience the size of the Citizens Fleet and just that very clear, not subtle imagery of Poe going down from the darkness, swooping up and seeing that there's hope. Yeah. That is really great to see on the big screen.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. And then, you know, along the way, you got Han, you got a lot of moments that are great and the lightsaber fight, everything about it.
There's some pretty great moments there. Yeah. So there you go, Kevin. Great question. Ken is going to Rise of Skywalker to see some Aki-Akis. I'm going to watch Dexter Jester's giant bottom as he pulls up his pants, and we're going to experience the joy of Star Wars in the theater. Any other thoughts before we move on, Ken?
No, I'm going to watch Rise of Skywalker today. That's my thought.
Excellent. We're going to go on to a great question from Carl Axel Franzen. Great name, great question. Here we go. Do the opening lines of A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away affect the way you watch, understand, and enter into the world of Star Wars? Would it be different if those weren't there, or if instead it had a future date like Blade Runner or Dune? My short answer to this one is the biggest all caps yes humanly possible. I'm deeply affected. I think Star Wars is deeply affected. That's my short answer. I'm going to try to contain the rest of my answer, but Ken, I'm curious if you feel really strongly that that is essential to the way that we enter the world of Star Wars and why.
Yeah, I think, you know, you and I, well, I guess everyone who's a Star Wars fan has grown up with this just being part of our lives, huh? Right? It's just the moment you watch, it's there. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. It's a thing, man. And yeah, it absolutely pulls me into Star Wars, into the galaxy. It's like you settle in. There's so much excitement. You and I and others have celebrated that moment from the Lucasfilm logo to these words to that big pause right before the music hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is everything. And I'm always so excited for the next Star Wars adventure. I think it's all part of the tapestry there. And yes, some of it is nostalgia when you watch it, but other times it does work as intended, which is you are now being transported into this world. And because of that, I'm very glad it isn't the future, which I know maybe at one point might have been it, right? George maybe scribbled that down on a yellow notepad of paper. It's just, to me, more mythic to go into the past. Almost to the point where I just don't even dig into the meaning. I just accept it. That's what it is. It's another time, another world. I don't know if it exists in ours or it just doesn't. I don't need a Neil deGrasse Tyson in, all right? I don't care what Tom Cruise did in a plane, Neil. I just want to enjoy it. So I think it's there. And then I miss when I feel it's not there. And most Star Wars stories, that's there, right? Even in the novels, even the comics. But sometimes if you read it, it might have a different impact. Sometimes in the more modern shows, I don't feel that as much, right? Andor doesn't have that, right? I'm trying to think. Don't see it. And I do miss it. I don't need it at this point. It's part of the muscle memory of sitting down for Star Wars. But I don't know. I like it. We always reference our pal, Mark Ellis, big Star Wars fan. And he's always said, yeah, I love the Star Wars TV shows, but it doesn't hit me in my face like John Williams' music does at the beginning of sitting in the theater and all that kind of stuff. And he's adjusted. He's not holding on to that. He loves the new stuff. But I think there's sometimes I feel the loss of not just the words A Long Time Ago in the Galaxy Far, Far Away, but the mood and the vibe.
Yeah. And I think like on Disney Plus, that little kind of Star Wars teaser with the different faces and they rotate slightly, that's starting to get to be that kind of collection of the 20th Century Fanfare from when we were kids to the Lucasfilm Loco to A Long Time in a Galaxy Far, Far Away to the pause before the John Williams needle drop. I think that's starting to fill that
that part of just getting excited to enter this world.
I agree.
But that's the kind of the big overall experience, right? And there's the specificity of it would be powerful as just the Lucasfilm logo and then that moment before the needle drop and then that music and then Star Wars and the crawl, that would still be powerful, right? Yeah. But the specificity of a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away is I really agree with your reasons why. But instead of just stating them plainly and elegantly, the way you did, I need to obsess on them.
Please obsess away. Indeed. Host of the Obsessed podcast.
So I think that to me, a magic of Star Wars, and in particular that first film, is this combination of the shockingly new things we think of as science fiction, you know, blasters, ray guns, ships that can do impossible things, the ease of interstellar travel. That's all very science fiction-y. In reality, in 1977, the actual look of the film was shockingly new and impossible for the effects to look that good, right? But balancing that out is this deep sense of the ancient and the timeless, and that this is very old, you know. We as viewers have nostalgia, but that text says you should have nostalgia, even though you've never seen Star Wars before. There's an element of nostalgia to it. So it's this fascinating mix of the ancient and the shockingly new. And I think the long time ago in a galaxy far, far away makes it feel like, yeah, maybe this could have happened. Maybe this is a story I once knew. It feels like this kind of half forgotten dream that something like deep and true is waking up inside us, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that whole kind of energy to it to me. Then there's the element of it that is explicitly like a storybook beginning, right?
Yeah.
And I think that tells us that it's fantasy, it's myth, that it's the space fantasy, not science fiction, not a projection of what the future might be, like Carl's asking about and we'll talk about. But I think the fact that it makes it feel not just like a storybook, but like a myth is really important, because I think it tells us what Star Wars is and how to interpret it and process it. That if you dig into myths, what are they? Why are they told? There's, you know, great books and great shows that you can watch with experts diving into the history of myth across various cultures. And what's usually the reason for the myth is that they are explicit guides to comprehending the world. They are creation stories. They are stories of why does it rain? Why do people die? Yeah, there are stories of, you know, what happens to us when we die? What is the essential nature of love? What is the right way to love in our society? What is, you know, your devotion to your nation or not? You know, what does family mean? All of these things are like they're big ideas about who do we want to be? What is the way that the world works? Myths are often cautionary tales about hubris and anger and folly. And I think that's really important, because so much of Star Wars is a cautionary tale of like, anger feels great. Here's why not to give into it. And this is a modern myth that teaches us the folly of hate, you know?
Yeah.
And all of that way to interpret Star Wars is invited, opened up, instructed by a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away to me.
So I'm just listening. Yes, I'm Professor, I'm taking notes. This is great. Yeah, no, this is wonderful. No, I absolutely think you're right.
Yeah. And then there is that little bit more of like just we've talked about a lot. There's the unreliable narrator of it, right? That you can really interpret this. And I know different fans, different listeners interpret it differently. They interpret it as the a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away means that, yeah, this is this really happened somewhere far away. That's the that's what we're, you know, the idea that we're agreeing to. But regardless of how you interpret it, it is like it's a story being told, even if the events really happened. You know, this is a report of what they happened. So it opens the idea to an unreliable narrator. It opens the idea that, yeah, these events all happened, but maybe the details might shift a little bit based on your certain point of view. It opens up this really interesting, you know, conversation of, who is saying that to us? Who is saying a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? You know, whose perspective is this story coming from? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I touched upon a little bit, but I truly, really don't spend any time on did this really happen or this guy, you know, the literal side of it. Where in other areas I do, and I think that's sometimes what makes it more sci-fi. I love the Battlestar Galactica update and, you know, what it ends up being and everything, which, you know, the final season had a lot of things behind it. The BTS of that is well documented. And I like it, and I like that it's that. This one, I've never spent a drop of energy, and I don't mean that to be negative towards people that do. I accept long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, that's all I need to know.
Yeah, I like that idea that it is entirely separate from us. You know, I would never want a, and then this is the Star Wars character, you know, who found Earth, right? You know, I really like it being its own thing because it makes it both timeless and totally relevant to whatever time it's being made in at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
How would the future date, if there was a future date, or if it was just like kind of implied that this is probably in the future because they got spaceships and laser guns, how would you feel if Star Wars was in the future?
Here's the thing. It's one of those questions. If that was the case, then I wouldn't know any other way, right? And so I'm trying to put myself in that headspace. And look, I don't think I'd have a problem with it at all. Clearly, I'd still be buying Kenner action figures as a kid. I'm just so... I like, there's something weird about the past angle of it that I just love. That just, it for me, again, it stops me at the door and I leave the questions there where, you know, that sci-fi, again, I think has to deal, mostly seems to deal with the future. That's maybe not all the way true every example. And Star Wars leaning the fantasy side. I don't think I'd enjoy that as much. But again, it's hard to answer because if I was seven, I wouldn't care. And I probably grow up thinking, yeah, it's the future. Great.
Yeah, I would not have cared or been able to articulate in any way, shape, or form, you know, why I would prefer it as space fantasy than science fiction as a kid. I would not have been able to articulate it, but I felt it because Star Wars felt like there's something extra about it. There's something mystical. There's something where you always quite, there's always a little bit of mystery to it and you kind of want to know more and you can never quite know it all. Whereas a lot of future stuff that I also love is, I think, just doing something different. Like Star Trek is a possible future of us, right?
Yes.
You know, their base is in San Francisco. If we get our bleep together as a society, we could have this more utopian vision of the future. Or for a lot of it, like Blade Runner is like, you think LA is bad now? Wait until 2019. You know, those things, because they are predictions, or that predictions might not even be the right word, because they are possible futures of us, literally. It makes them very directly tied to what is for sure going on right now in our society, right? Like, if we do better, we could be Star Trek. If we keep doing some of the stuff we're doing, we're going to be Blade Runner, you know?
Yeah. They should just put those into one movie. Here's the
doors. Yeah. Choose your own adventure. Yeah. Do you want the Enterprise or Blade Runner? What do you want? And I think this is my final thought, I promise. What's interesting to me about the fantasy element of Star Wars, this idea that it's timeless, this idea that somewhere impossibly long ago and somewhere impossibly far away, all these things are happening to these exciting, weird, fantastic characters. But... what's happening to them is so relatable. They care about family. They care about friends. They care about making the choice of whether or not they should get involved. You know, all of these things. So it isn't that Star Wars in fantasy isn't relevant. It just comes at the sort of like the relevance to the modern in a different way. I think it says like, maybe there's beats, there's moments that are in Star Wars that are super relevant to the exact moment. But what motivates the event is timeless, right? That the sort of the battle between, you know, kindness and compassion versus anger, fear, authoritarianism. Those things are timeless and everywhere, always in existence, beings are going to be choosing between these things. So Star Wars is utterly relevant right now, but it's also kind of saying this is an always battle, the choice between hope and fear. Where, and I think science fiction can say that as well, but being so tied to the modern, it's really a, like, we're joking, but it really is like a choose your own adventure of like, this is where we're going to head, here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I always make the connection between this and like the Lord of the Rings world with Tolkien, which is it is about that always battle. And because I don't spend an ounce of energy on wondering if Middle Earth is London, you know, like I don't, or the UK, I don't care. And I think that brings some power to it. And sometimes like with a series like Andor has that, you know, whatever one's kind of being pulled in by, they say adult and more mature themes. It's really just, it feels more real, like this is could be really happening. And I'm glad that Star Wars has that, but I always enjoy the long time ago feeling of this is just always going to be in your soul. It's always what it's about, and you can pull from it what you want. Versus, like you said, San Francisco, where the USS Enterprise is.
Yep. And yeah, we learn in Andor that everybody has socks. Even Tim in Andor has socks, and we're getting into those just real life details, but it's still within this, you know, fantasy setting, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah. Very, very fun question. Thank you, Carl. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our questions from our patrons on Patreon. Back in a moment.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back for more Cues of the Force. We've got two questions from patrons on Patreon. We're going first to Robert Meadows. Robert says, what are the odds of us getting a double dosage of Jimmy Smits in Star Wars this year? We've already had him in Obi-Wan Kenobi. Will we also see his wonderful face in Andor?
This is a fun one. Ken, what are your thoughts on double dosage of Jimmy Smits?
I mean, a double dose of Jimmy is a great thing. And I think it is a, we're looking at the Vegas odds being, I don't know. I'm bad at odds, even though I'm a sports fan. It's great odds. 3PO, tell me the odds. I really feel, especially now that we see how it's playing out in season one, I'm not expecting him, and I can't. There's no secret announcement that I'm aware of. He would fit in certainly, but there's just something as season two seems to be connected to more of the things we're aware of, and maybe jumping around a bit. We know as it moves closer to the events of Rogue One, it would feel. I want to say wrong because that sometimes sounds. I'll just say it would feel wrong if we get no Bail Organa in this story. So, yes. And after seeing the way it played out so just beautifully and love everything about Brea and Bail in Kenobi, I want more of that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought he was so great. And I think his, he's there in a lot of ways to reinforce Leia's story. Great scenes. Yep. Reminding Kenobi that she's just as important as Luke. But that exchange with Bail and Kenobi at the end about the heaviness is like the Empire is getting worse. It's getting worse all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, in the timeline, that's, a little bit before Andor. So things are really getting bad by the time of Andor. I feel like I would love it if he shows up. I feel like there have been rumors. I think at one point I was like, yeah. He was announced, right? And then I looked it up and was like, no, not at all. So I really, really hope that if not season one, for sure season two, because I think it is a vital part of the story that Tony Gilroy has talked about telling in interviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of described this as the origins of the rebellion through Andor's eyes. And obviously there are a lot of stories that help tell that story, including Rebels.
Yeah.
And obviously some version of something calling itself the Alliance exists, because there's the episode where Cassian kind of and Luthen kind of rattle off all of the different sort of factions opposing the Empire and these splinter groups. And one of them is listed as Alliance. So, there's some, beginning foundations of that. We know from the Ahsoka novel that pretty soon after the events of the Clone Wars, Bail is already kind of looking for operatives to quietly try to make a difference. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if Andor really is the story of how do some of these big players truly come together into the rebellion and the alliance that we know, it'd be great if part of why we're following Mothma is to see a real tipping point for her and Bail, where they both commit to, we're opposed to this. We're trying to stop things in the Senate. We both kind of have some agents where we kind of quietly try to do some things, but this is inevitable and we need to step it up. And both of them kind of deciding together what level of risk to take, what level of sacrifice to make. We have some of this in the Leia Princess of Alderaan novel as well, but to really see it on screen, especially, I feel like that's why we're getting all of this groundwork with Mothma, with what she is sacrificing and the danger she's putting herself in. And it makes a lot of sense for her and Bail to be making these choices of when do we, throw the switch and go in even deeper.
Yeah. And there would be, now that the show has arrived and how, it's presented in the way it's presented, I guess you could say, there would have been a part of me that was like, I don't know if Tony Gilroy is not aware. I think he'd be aware, but, cause Bale's in Rogue One, but just wouldn't be concerned about bringing him in. And then there's some great stuff. I got to say, sometimes I'll poke at Tony Gilroy, or at least what I think he is, right? And I admit to that. I'll own that. But there's a great clip going around of him kind of on a podcast, just absolutely knowing everything about Mothma and the Gorman stuff and the speech and Rebels. Not that he was a Rebels fan or what, but he's aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. And I really like that clip. The reason I like that clip is something about, then he knows where, not just that Bail would be around, he probably knows where he would want Bail to be in this story and have it tie in nicely. And so that increased the odds as well.
Yeah. And for me, I think I just have hopes where we're at of that this is such a personal story for Mothma too, right? That we're seeing what she is going through and how isolated she is. And,
whatever happens with Luthen, you know, he ain't around by Rogue One time. So I don't think there's a super happy ending for Luthen, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of leaves a character like Bail is maybe the one of the few people in the galaxy who understands what Mothma's going through.
Yes.
And it just makes sense for an emotional story that's taking a lot of time simply for emotional beats, so we truly know these characters and feel their pain and celebrate their victories, that Bail's presence in Mothma's life has a huge emotional reason to be there, to be one of the few people who understands the hell she's living in.
Yeah, God, you're right. Like, yeah, especially, let's say Luthen goes, for whatever, dies or otherwise. Yeah, you imagine Bail being like, I know, Tarkin showed up for a dinner party. I had Sly Moore at mine, like, you know, just on that level alone.
Yeah, I just want to see them complaining about awkward dinner parties.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but so, yeah, we'll see. You know, gotta be open to it. We always want to be careful that we're not setting ourselves up for disappointment. The reason we do that is because we have so many wonderful expectations ourselves. And Bail, K2SO, gosh, I still want even a shot of Bodhi Rook delivering something. You know, I'm open to it all.
Yeah, so it'll be very exciting to see. Very grateful for the Bail Organa. Jimmy Smits as Bail Organa we got in Kenobi and hoping for more in Andor. And yeah, I have not watched that Tony Gilroy clip, so I'll have to watch that. That sounds great.
Yeah,
it's awesome. All right, we are going to move on to our final question from Michael McCarsel. Michael says, hello there, FC friends. I hope all is well. With the release of the Tales of the Jedi trailer, the show solidified its place as my most anticipated upcoming Star Wars project. I love animation, and the Jedi are my biggest focus in Star Wars, so this series almost feels tailor-made for me. With that being said, what other Jedi would you like to see get a focus in future seasons? What stories do you think would be important to tell? For me, Quinlan Vos was the first that came to mind. Perhaps we could see some of his time as a Padawan, his mission on Tatooine, and eventually what he's doing to help others during the reign of the Empire. Thanks, and may the Force be with you. May the Force be with you, Michael. I am right there with you. I was already excited for Tales of the Jedi, and you know, some friends got to see the first episode and told us a little bit about the presentation at Star Wars Celebration. I thought, that sounds really cool. That sounds really great. Then the trailer came out, and I fully understood how interconnected these tales of Dooku and Ahsoka are on a thematic level in scene, that it is so just deeply Jedi, right? Of course, it's Tales of the Jedi, it should be, but everything from the thrill of the lightsabers, Dooku with a blue lightsaber, to the deep Jedi ideology. Why do we do this, and how could it go wrong? That is, you know, probably my biggest Star Wars passion. So I'm right there with Michael, being very excited about this project. Ken, what is your general excitement level for Tales of the Jedi at this point?
Here's where it is as we approach. I like the idea. Once it was announced, I remember when that leak came out of what it was, I had no opinion. I just was like, let me just wait to figure out what this is. And now that we know, I think, and because it's the Clone Wars style, so to speak, right, of animation, that and seeing it, I was like, all right, I'm on board for it. But I just got a sneaking suspicion that I'm gonna love this more than even I expect. If that makes sense, right? You know, because they're bite-sized, and there's something about, you know, in an era of wonderfully long shows, I love it. I love every minute, but it can sometimes be daunting. Gosh, even the last House of Dragon was like an hour 15 minutes, and I was like, okay, let me strap in and get ready for this. You know, like, I don't have an hour 15 right now. Something I like about that, right? You know, is that, am I being too, you know, the riches are too good right now and I'm being ungrateful, Joseph?
No, not at all. I think it is great that we have so much to choose from. But when we truly love things and want to eat them, I was going to make a food analogy, want to watch them. It is like Tales of the Jedi is like, man, that is a great cheeseburger that I'm going to get to eat. And like, some things are like, okay, I don't really want to go to a how many cheeseburgers can you eat in one sitting contest, but I guess I have to because it's just that long. You know, it's the difference between a delicious meal that you can fully savor to like, I love cheeseburgers and everybody's gonna be talking about them, so I gotta eat eight right now.
Right,
like,
now.
Yeah.
Right now. People are gonna tweet out cheeseburger spoilers. gotta do it. Yeah, so just on that, that's just on a logistical angle. I'm like, I think I'm gonna enjoy sitting down with this. But I'm really excited to what you talk about, young Qui-Gon and Dooku, and these are things that we couldn't necessarily get in other areas, you could. You could do it live action now. What am I saying? Yes, you could. I'm not just talking about de-aging or any kind of tech. You could cast and go another way. But it just seems like this is the spot for it. And I'm excited about those possibilities. And I have a feeling, I have a sneaking suspicion. I'm going to come Tales of the Jedi release day. I'm going to be like, hot damn, I want more of these. And not even Tales of Tales of Rebels, Tales of Empire. I don't know. It just seems like a great winning format.
Yeah, I really like your point. I think if it's just a very targeted slice of life that still add up to being mm-hmm. big meaning in terms of the characters or even the comparing and contrasting the journeys of different characters.
Yeah.
I want as much Tales of the Jedi, but you're right. Just the format, you could have Tales of the Rebellion. You could have Tales of the Bounty Hunters, right? Mm-hmm. And I know obviously the anthology books and things like that have done that, but mm-hmm. this very targeted, you know, what did Bossk and Embo go through together that's similar?
Right, right.
I'm spiraling out because I love your thoughts on just the nature of the structure. I also got Dooku fever lately. I've really spent a lot of time with that character reading Christopher Lee's autobiography. So I'm just excited for mm-hmm. for that character that we haven't got to dig into as deep, mm-hmm. except for in the audio adventure of Dooku Jedi Lost. And now we're really going to dive in. It's great. Yeah. So with all that discussed, let's answer Michael's actual question about what other Jedi we would like to see is a focus in the future. I got a few thoughts, Ken. I almost did a ranked episode. I think I have almost five. So where do you start?
I have five. So yeah, mini ranked. We'll try to go through this. First of all, I have four because I just want to say
I have four too. We're in sync.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Voss's mission to Tatooine is a great idea. We may have discussed it in other spots before. And the reason I'm like kind of remembering is I think I've just discussed this in my life. I think it's a fun little wrinkle in Star Wars story. The characters based on the extra sitting on the Tatooine, and then it's just spiraled and fallen out into this wonderful story of Voss. Give us that. Play around with that. Explain that. Have a moment where Qui-Gon and Voss make eye contact. Come on. That would be just fun. It's a great idea. Michael, you're right about that.
Yeah. I mean, work in all the dialogue. Is there no one friendly to the Republic who could help us? Yeah. And Quinlan Voss is like, eavesdropping on that comment and feels real guilty, hangs his head and walks away.
But he can't break cover. Yeah. Fascinated with that. So some other ones on my mind here. We might be in similar areas. It's kind of funny. Luke Skywalker, sometimes after Return of the Jedi, we're starting to get, you know, Shadows of Sith touched on that stuff. We've seen some stuff, Battlefront 2 and Shattered Empire, but now Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, there's still 5 years to play with, up to Mando. It's just a great opportunity, opportunity to tell Luke during that time and have it be animated you cannot get hung up on tech or anything. It's just presented as is. And I think that it could be really rewarding.
Yeah, boy, that is a Luke stuff is definitely on my list. Big thumbs up to that one. You got two more, right?
Yeah. Luke and Ben have some stuff to do too. Ben Solo. So I'll leave that if you have one to discuss that. And then I went to two big ones here. Now, one I've talked about before. I think it would be a great novel, and I just still surprised that hasn't come out yet, especially after Kenobi, the series. But Obi-Wan Kenobi and Satine, and them on the run, and Qui-Gon being all that kind of stuff. We all want this story, and maybe it's a case of if we get it, it will never live up to our big romantic sweeping expectations or sweeping romantic expectations in Star Wars. But this is another possible way to tell that story. And then to do it in the similar style and, you know, maybe you have Anna Graves and James Earl Taylor come back and do it and play younger versions themselves. It just seems like it would shatter ratings records for Disney Plus. It just seems like an entire fandom calling out for this story.
That is such a great idea. That would be deeply meaningful to a lot of people. Obviously, huge fans of Kenobi, like we are here. But I mean, the Kenobi Satine relationship. I mean, there have been weddings at conventions, right?
Yes.
I mean. Yes. And it is just so tantalizing because all we know this setup of, you know, people are trying to drive her from power because she wanted pacifism. So she's hunted by bounty hunters for a year and they're on the run. with this messy triangle of Qui-Gon watching his Padawan and Satine kind of fall in love for a year.
And you're right. It's not even just about their sweeping romance. There's so much in it on her side and what's going on in Mando. Yeah, I mean, you could almost do six episodes, not just three.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, we were talking about these bite-sized Tales of the Jedi, mm-hmm. and, like, I think some of my answers are accurate to, like, oh, yeah, that'd be a fun Tales of the Jedi with, you know, these little vignettes, the slice mm-hmm. of life that add up to a big picture, and then some of them are like, no, actually, this needs to be a two-hour movie, or this needs to be, you know, a season of animated television, you
right?
know?
Could you imagine? I mean, yeah, if they announce, you know, The Duchess and the Jedi or something, a six-episode full animated run?
Yeah, right? I mean, just like specifically we are telling this story in the Clone Wars, like Clone Wars Tales. It doesn't need to be that because it's, yeah. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really thrilling to think maybe Tales of the Jedi could be the sort of backdoor pilot to doing these really meaningful one-off mm-hmm. Adventures that deserve that focus. And that is one of those great stories where the little we know about it is so thrilling that yeah. we really, you know, I think as fans would be so excited for that yeah. full story to play out.
Ooh, yeah, sorry. All right, my final one. I'm going to sneak it in. This is not a Star Wars ranked episode. I think that eventually you're going to see more High Republic stuff slip off the pages, so to speak, maybe mm-hmm. sneak out of the pages. It is a publishing initiative. I'm so happy with that. The reading Light of the Jedi was like, I mean, you couldn't have tried a movie with this. It's so good. But I don't want to make it sound like I'm looking down on the publishing side because I'm not. I love those. But you got this form, three episodes, short bite size type of stuff. Young Elzar Mann and Avar Chris try to work it out. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see their first smooch. Let's do it.
Yeah, look, and if you're doing these sort of paired stories, you want to do a little Obi-Wan and Satine and Elzar and Avar, you know,
yeah.
If they're paired around things, look, they could do a whole separate series that is Tales of the Jedi, romance, question mark?
Yeah.
And the moments where Jedi almost or did.
Release it on Valentine's Day. Come on.
That would be absolutely great stuff. Well, I love all yours, and there's definitely some overlap. I really agree with Michael. I think Quinlan Vos is a great choice. I really want that character to be explored more. There's so much that's interesting about him, from the Phantom Menace origins to picture this really unique Jedi who has this kind of sense of humor and, mm-hmm. and sense of risk and playfulness, and if you've read Dark Disciple, totally falls in love, gets converted to the dark side, comes back, and now we know he's alive and helping people during the Age of the Empire from Kenobi. So an endlessly fascinating character. And if the Tales of the Jedi got another season and it continued to be a thing like Ahsoka and Dooku appear to be, where they're sort of thematically tied, you know, mm-hmm. it's really great to see, like, okay, well, if Quinlan Vos is, a Jedi who seems to really love life but is tortured by the dark side, you know, could he be paired with Sifo Dyas, mm-hmm. with Barriss Offee, you know? Mm-hmm. Is it a tale of two survivors and we could learn, you know, see a little bit of Quinlan and Barriss both in their Jedi days and then where are they at during the Empire, you know? Right. It's really exciting to play the pair 'em up game as well.
The old pair 'em up.
The old pair 'em up, yeah. So my next one is also a pair 'em up. And it's something that I have gone on and on about on old Force Center over the years, is there's some significant blade making that I would still like to see. I mm-hmm. want to see Anakin make his first blade, but in particular, I really want to see Anakin make the Skywalker family saber, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
And I thought that I was like, oh man, maybe it could be like we're following Anakin and Obi-Wan's adventures of making their different blades. I say it as a joke, but I'm kind of fascinated. Like, how much shame is there in making your second blade after you lost your first or second? Or, yeah. you know, what is that like, you know, kind of the middle-aged return to Ilum
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Gathering like, yeah. So there's that. But then I thought, you know, what would be incredibly fascinating is to have a Tales of the Jedi that is about a making of blades. And what does it mean? And you pair Anakin with Ben Solo making mm-hmm. his blade.
Ooh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be great. Marketing.
Yeah. right? And you wouldn't even have to venture into any either of their dark side eras, right? It could just be their relationship with the Blades when they're still on the light side, and what it, you know, obviously the hints of things to come and all that. But that'd be great.
Tales of the Jedi, making of the Blades.
The making of the Blades, yeah. And you could do that with so many characters.
Right.
I agree with you that I think eventually it would be great to see the High Republic pulled in. And I was thinking, like, you know, as much as he's had time on screen, he's had a great comic book, but I still want to know more about Mace Windu. Who could you pair him with? Like, what if there was a Mace Windu and Porter Engel, Blade of Bardotta, story, Tales of the Jedi, little mini season that was like Tales of the Jedi : The Balance of Power. So both Porter Engel and Mace Windu are characters who, it's not the dark side. It's once we decide to unleash power, we unleash power.
Yeah,
exactly. So then my final in our mini Star Wars ranked episode is similar to what we're talking about. I would love your idea of just following Luke himself on some of his adventures, because we can in animated form. But in that Rise of Kylo Ren 4-issue comic book, it's pretty clear that Luke isn't just training a new generation. He has a functioning, small but functioning Jedi order.
Yeah.
And there are Jedi out doing things in the galaxy. So to see Tales of the Jedi that is Luke, it's Ben, but it's also Meaton. In developing some more of the Jedi that are in Luke's school, and turn Tales of the Jedi into a backdoor pilot for the new Jedi adventures.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's my deepest hope.
Yeah. These are all great. Yeah. Michael, this is great. I like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I liked it. And I think it was a bit of the trailer. You and I did not see the episode at Celebration. We don't think it's going on that day. Everyone loves him. I love what Star Wars just presents you, something that carries with it so much possibilities, so much potential.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really hyped for Tales of the Jedi, but I'm also ready for them to not be like earth shattering. They're just slices of life that show us who these characters are and why their choices and their philosophy is important. You know, combining two characters who both left the Jedi Order under different circumstances for different reasons. Like, I don't think there's going to be like shocking canon, huge revelation necessarily. It's just really getting to spend quality time with the heart of Jedi, of why do they make the choices that they do.
Right.
And those stories are endlessly fascinating, and an endlessly fascinating roster of cool Jedi to pull from.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you, Michael, for letting us do a mini episode of Star Wars Ranked right here in Cues of the Force. Those are our questions. Want to continue to mention Power of the Light Side. I need to do that this week. This week, I will refresh the call out for submissions. If you're a patron on Patreon, we will post a request for Power of the Light Side submissions. It's just an opportunity for you to type up anything that you love, that you value in Star Wars, from a personal experience to a toy to whatever you would like to share. Just to continue celebrating the saga that we all enjoy. So I'll put that call out there. But for now, that's it. Ken, where can people find us?
Hey, you can find us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Don't forget, we are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Join us over there for live Q&As and more. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're available on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Head over there to get some designs before they vanish. Patreon.com/Force Center is where you can support us directly. From there, get into our Discord. You can follow me at Catnapsock. Go to catnapsock.com for information, like things like comedy gigs. If you're in the La Jolla area, there this weekend, Friday through Sunday, or in Seattle at the end of the month. And look for more there. Joseph, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, I am putting more stuff out there. You can go to YouTube and search for Joseph Scrimshaw and subscribe and like and all the things that you do on YouTube. That would be a great, great help in helping me build some things that I am working towards. So if you're interested, please do that. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for the 18,000 Tales of the Jedi shows we just invented, this has been Cues of the Force.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.